You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Henry McGregor Edwards, my son, born on Monday. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, our live broadcast tonight for the evening of Saturday, November the 1st. What a year it's been. What a 30-day period it's been. I'm happy to be here with you tonight. That song I also played in the hospital for my son. I want him to be a big man in town. I want him to be better than me. I don't want him to be me. I want him to be better than me. And God willing, he will be, and he'll accomplish far greater things than I've ever done. I pray that for him. I prayed it before he was born. I'll pray it for him every day. But again, you know, having a child in this day and age is a dicey proposition, especially for our people. The only people who were truly discriminated against in the United States of America, white Christians, heterosexual white Christians, specifically Southerners, are the only people that are truly discriminated against by the government and by the media in the year 2014. And so to bring a child into the world under those circumstances is something that causes you to take pause. But it is our duty to have a full quiver, as the good book says, and to raise them righteously, and that's what I'm going to do. Pat Buchanan writes about the coming wars in November. The parties are trying to do as little damage as they can to the country in the last weeks before any given election cycle. Even gas prices drop, for goodness sake. But as Pat writes, as it stands today, the Republicans will add seats in the House and recapture the Senate on Tuesday. However, the near certainty is that those elections will be swiftly eclipsed by issues of war, peace, immigration, and race, all of which will be moved front and center this November. Consider, if repeated links from investigators to reporters covering the Ferguson story are true, there will be no indictment of Officer Darren Wilson, the cop who shot Michael Brown. Should that happen, militant voices are already threatening, quote, all hell will break loose, end quote. Police in the city and 90-some municipalities in St. Louis County, as well as the state police, are preparing for major violence. Do you hear what Pat Buchanan's writing about, ladies and gentlemen? If justice is served based upon the facts and Officer Darren Wilson is not brought, does not have charges filed against him, if the grand jury feels as though he was justified and shot that thug in self-defense, there will be violence, guaranteed violence. That is lynch mob justice. What they complained about, the myth of the lynch mobs back in the old South, that is exactly who they are and what they want. The irony just drips, ladies and gentlemen. They are promising violence, the black undertow, not the exceptions in the black community, but the rule in the black community. They are promising violence in Missouri unless they are able to lynch Darren Wilson. After flying out to Ferguson to declare, "I am the Attorney General of the United States, but I'm also a black man," Eric Holder has once again brought his healing touch to the bleeding wound. Yesterday, Holder said it is pretty clear that there is need for a wholesale change in the Ferguson Police Department. For what? For what, Holder? For what? For doing their job? I mean, are they supposed to just lay down and die and let a 6'4", 300-pound degenerate murder them in order to absolve themselves of accusation of racism? I mean, that's what you're saying, isn't it? That's what I'm hearing you say. Should the grand jury decide that Wilson fired in self-defense in a struggle with Brown over his gun and fired again when the 6'4", 300-pound man charged him, what would justify a purge of the Ferguson Police Department or the dismissal of their chief of police? What exactly have the Ferguson cops done to have deserved the remorseless vilification that they have received? Yet, as St. Louis is bitterly divided over this incident and how it has been exploited, so too will be the nation should November 2014 provide a replay of the urban riots of yesteryear. And that's not all that's boiling. And you know, this is the problem with diversity and multiculturalism. None of the biggest problems that we face as a country would exist if we were a racially homogenous nation. That's just a fact. Millions of illegal aliens. The White House, Barack Obama is planning an executive amnesty for millions of illegal aliens after the midterm elections. He's planning on it. He's mentioned it. It's been talked about in the press. This is what is waiting for us after the midterm elections. Perhaps blanket amnesty for the millions of illegal aliens residing in the United States. And he knows he can get away with it because what are the Republicans going to do about it if they should take the presidency in 2016? Absolutely nothing. They pretend to oppose these sorts of incidents. But then once the Democrats railroad it through, they never repeal anything. They won't repeal Obamacare. They won't repeal anything. They never have. They never will. My goodness, somebody help me. What's the boxing term for this person that's just set up to lose? That's just set up to take a beating, the fall guy. That's just set up to go in there. There's a term for it, a sports term. I would know it any other time, but you know what I'm talking about. That's what the Republicans are. A patsy. You know, that's what they are. They are not sincere opposition to the radical socialist agenda. They're just one step behind it. And once the Democrats force it through, they never repeal anything. So you're going to have amnesty potentially in the Republicans in 2016 or even in 2014 with the Senate and the Congress. They're not going to do anything to change that. They won't. And it just goes on and on and on. The foreign policy is such a mess. You got, you know, true terrorists here in the United States beheading people. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago in Oklahoma. You know, white people at this Oklahoma plant get beheaded by a Muslim. You know, but none of this is being talked about. But this is what's boiling under the surface and that will simmer over in November. This thing about Ferguson, good God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I hope that man gets acquitted and they show their true colors once again for all the world to see. We're going to take a break.
This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I don't know if I mentioned this or not this evening, but my wife gave birth to our son on Monday, and I'm pretty proud about that. And in addition to the pride that I have in that, as you can imagine, it has dominated my attention this week. I can't remember ever having said this before or it ever having been true. I literally came into the radio station tonight without having done 2 minutes of preparation. And I say that I did 2 minutes of preparation because I did take 2 minutes today to call Kevin McDonald and ask him to be our featured guest this evening. And in my haste, I even messed that up because I told Kevin that I'd like to have him on at 6 o'clock Pacific time because he's out there on the left coast. And then I ended up calling him at 5 o'clock Pacific time, which was a few minutes ago, and he was at the vet with his dog. I think I told you in the first hour that Kevin was going to be our guest in the second hour. Well, it's live radio, and we're calling an audible here. Kevin was locked into the time that I told him rather than the time that I actually called him at. And anyway, Kevin's going to be our guest in the third hour, so you can still look forward to that. I wanted to be sure to clear that up, because I do remember saying in the first hour that Kevin would be our featured guest in the second hour. Well, it's the third hour, as he so graciously reminded me, and I'm looking forward to having Kevin on. But literally no prep tonight. Everything, I think it's been a pretty good show so far, if I say so myself. And, of course, the one week where there's absolutely no prep done on my part because I'm so immersed in being at home with my family and tending to my wife, and we were at the hospital until Wednesday, and then, you know, home for a couple of days, tending to my wife, and then, of course, spending time with my newborn son. No prep, and of course, that week is the one week that both Eddie and Keith are out of town. I mean, of course it would be this perfect storm. But I think the show has gone by quite well. And hopefully, even though we're flying by the seat of our pants, I guess that's the editorial we, though I'm flying by the seat of my pants, I hope that you're still getting something from the program tonight. We were talking about Ferguson before the last commercial break, among other things, and how blacks are promising, guaranteeing that there will be violence Regardless of the facts, and Jared Taylor of American Renaissance did a great video on this in which he asked the rhetorical question, do the facts even matter in Ferguson? And of course, you can only come to one reasonable answer, and that is no. The facts do not matter to those who are dominating the coverage of Ferguson. And that's not to say that all blacks are taking the line that they want Wilson's head on a platter. But if there are any blacks out there that have any sense of reason on this issue or would rather wait till the facts come in before casting judgment, I haven't seen any of these people on TV. If they exist, the mainstream press has guaranteed that they would not be featured. I think I saw Ben Carson one night who said some pretty good things about it. But other than that, and other than that one time, I haven't in all the coverage of Ferguson. And all the white anchors, too, by the way. It was just like the thing with George Zimmerman. You watch all these white idiots on TV just railing about how horrible it was that this white guy, I don't know what white guy they were talking about. They were talking about Zimmerman, but he wasn't white. But nevertheless, this white guy Zimmerman, just killed this poor little cherub teen, unarmed teen. And they had to always put in that unarmed thing because, as we know, you can't possibly commit a crime without a gun in your hand. It's impossible to do it. Anyway, they were all in the tank for the regime. And that's what's going on here in Ferguson, of course. The black undertow is I mentioned this last week at the very end of the show, I think. They're preparing for what they call Negrogeddon. I wouldn't use that term unless they used it because I can't keep up each week with what they prefer to be called. Used to, they wanted to be called Negroes. Because that is, of course, I believe the Latin term. That is the official thing. And then they didn't want that, and they wanted this, and they didn't want that. I don't know. But anyway, that's what they're promising. A fellow by the name of Tlaib Starks, he's the author of The Uncivil War, Blacks versus, the N-word. He can use that word, of course. Anyway, he's someone that the establishment press obviously gives a microphone to. And he told John Gibson on Fox News that white people should prepare for Negrogeddon, quote unquote, if Wilson is not indicted. He said that there is an unbreakable covenant in the black community with thug culture. And that the thugs have diplomatic immunity in the black community, and that their voices would be heard should there not be an indictment. All right, so basically what this guy is saying is that there's going to be violence if this guy is not indicted. And it doesn't matter if the reason for the fact that he won't be indicted is based upon the facts or based upon the fact that the autopsy confirm the officer's account of this. Even if he is completely cleared and the facts are overwhelming, point overwhelmingly to the conclusion that he was justified in the shooting of Michael Brown, it doesn't matter. There's going to be violence because they didn't get what they want. And that he even mentions here that there's an unbreakable covenant in the black community with the thug culture and that the thugs would have their day. Now, can you imagine, though, let's just take a moment and step back here. Can you imagine if there were a case like this, and once again, and we could say this about any case where there's a racial animus, but that the roles were reversed and that a black cop shot a white thug who was coming after him and that everybody in the white community was just in the tank for this guy. Now, listen, if that had been the case, and that hardly is ever the case because our people are law-abiding people by and large, but if that was the case, I would be on the side of reason. I'm a reasonable man. Yes, I champion my people. I put my family first. I put my people first. But if there was a case in which there was a white thug who was, bashing in the skull of a black police officer and the black police officer shot him, I would say, you know what? I'm glad he did it. It was justified. I wish it hadn't happened because I wish the perpetrator hadn't behaved in that manner and it wouldn't have been a situation to begin with. But in that case, I'd be on the side of the black police officer. Of course I would. All right, but that's not how these people think. As I said in my But anyway, could you imagine, though, just to get back to this very quickly, if all the white community said, we're going to guarantee violence, we're going to go out and we're going to rob and we're going to rape and we're going to pillage and we're going to commit crimes if we don't get our way? I mean, could you imagine the response from the government and the media? But the government and the media in this instance, as in all instances when it's a black versus white issue, they aid and abet and coddle and justify this criminal behavior of the black undertow. And as I said in my interview with Anthony Cumia a couple of months ago or earlier this summer or whenever it was, I said, by and large, the black community, or at least the spokesman of the black community, people like this Tlaib Starks, who said there's going to be violence unless this guy's indicted and the thugs are going to have their day. All right. As I said with Anthony Cumia, these people are like insolent children. You know, if you have a brat of a child, do you help them or hurt them more by giving in to their every whim and every demand? Every time they throw a temper tantrum or pout and you give them what they want, does that help them or hurt them in terms of their development? Well, as far as the black malcontents are concerned, our government and media believes that you just keep on pouring it on them, coddle them, tell them they're right. They're never wrong. Everything they do is justified. Of course this man should die. Of course Darren Wilson should spend his life in jail, regardless of whether or not he committed a crime. Well, the results have been predictable, and it's only getting worse. Their behavior will only get worse. I mean, what else can be said about it? Can't wait to see how this plays out, though. And God bless Darren Wilson. You know, if he is truly not guilty, it's a shame what has happened to this man. We're going to take a break.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, even on a night when I'm not at my most prepared, I think we still have a pretty fine show here on the political cesspool. I guess after having been in radio for 10 years, if you haven't picked up on how to talk and how to present and how to wing it, then you haven't been a very observant student. And so after 10 years, you kind of got this thing down on automatic. I thank you for being here. And, of course, even on nights like this, we still have a wealth of resources at our disposal, even when people like Keith and Eddie are out of town. There's always people in the stable of talent that we can call upon and that'll give you their very best and our A-listers from start to finish. Of course, one of them is our very good friend and the owner of the Liberty News Radio Network, Sam Bushman. You can catch Sam weekdays, Monday through Friday, each morning on the Liberty Roundtable show right here on this network. LibertyRoundtable.com is Sam's personal website. Anyway, Sam, of course, was the keynote speaker on the Friday night installment of our 10-year anniversary celebration. He gave his incredible talk. He owns The Media Makes the Rules. Those who were in Memphis with us 2 weeks ago got to meet and greet with Sam, and we were all the better for it. Sam left Memphis and made a beeline, not home, but where he lives in Utah, but up to Illinois for another event directly from Memphis to Illinois. Sam, why don't you go there?
Hi, James. Thanks for having me on, my friend. It was a delight to be in Memphis with everyone, by the way, and thank you so much for all of your attendance and involvement. And it was a success because of our incredible audience, number one. Number two, I took off with Kurt Cosby, my co-host, and the Copperhead drove us up to a place called Greene County, Illinois, James. And the reason we went to Greene County, Illinois, that's Greene, G-R-E-E-N-E, Greene County, Illinois, is because there's a fascinating case that's going on there, and some folks reached out and asked for our help. And I'm going to tell you the story. There's three articles at my website, libertyroundtable.com, which will help kind of back up the story and tell you the tale in its entirety. But, you know, you talk about men and real men, and I don't think we lack for courage, James. And as the story unfolds, you'll get kind of an indication of exactly what I'm talking about when that when it unfolds. But Greene County, Illinois is a very small town. It's about county, I should say. It's about 14,000 people. They got about 8,000 registered voters. Usually about 5,000 people vote, that kind of thing. It's a pretty small place. Consequently, it's a delightful place to be. And the people there were, for the most part, some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And I had a grand old time there. And here's the problem. There's a sheriff by the name of Rob McMillan. Now we're calling him McVillain instead of McMillan because of what he's done. Now, here's the deal. Sheriff Rob McMillan of Greene County is in an election right now. We'll decide it, what, on Tuesday? So pretty quick here. And Rob McMillan has a guy running against him who is a friend of ours and a constitutional sheriff's candidate by the name of Luke Lamb. Now, Luke Lamb currently sits on the board in Greene County, so he's not a nobody, that's for sure. And Luke Lamb and Rob McMillan are in this race for sheriff. Well, some strange things began to unfold. Luke was on Facebook with his best friend, and they were chatting back and forth. And his best friend is a guy by the name of Mark Boston. So Luke and Mark are chatting on Facebook, and Mark happens to say, "Hey, man, I got called to jury duty." And so Luke responds to Mark and says, "Wow, nullify, nullify, nullify. Fully informed jury, baby. FIJA.org. Remember, you got to judge the law, too. There's got to be a victim. Understand your responsibilities. By the way, I hope it's a speeding, I mean, I hope it's a seatbelt ticket case. I'd love to get on one of those juries and nullify it. It's a bogus revenue-generating tool for the bureaucrats. And so nullify." Mark laughs and says, "No, buddy, it's not a seatbelt ticket. Sorry." And so that was kind of the end of the conversation.
So Luke and Mark get offline, and they think everything's fine, and they're just having a good time, and Mark goes to jury duty, and all's well. Well, not so fast. The sitting sheriff, Sheriff Rob McMillan, gets wind of it and files felony charges against Luke Lamb, his political opponent, that is, his opponent for sheriff, suggesting that he was involved in jury tampering. Now, Luke Lamb was not involved in jury tampering by any stretch of the imagination. He was on Facebook using his First Amendment rights to express his own humble opinion on something. He knew nothing about the case. He was talking to his best friend. He wasn't hunting down jurors and tampering with anybody. He wasn't even near the courthouse or anything like that. So the bottom line is these felony charges get filed against Luke Lamb, virtually muzzling or shutting down his campaign against the current sitting sheriff, his opponent. Well, there's three articles I'm going to give you the titles of that are all on LibertyRoundtable.com. That's LibertyRoundtable.com. And it'll give you a handle on the story. Names, places, people, etc. Exactly in detail of the story that I'm telling you. First one is, did sitting sheriff execute political hit on his opponent? That's number one. Did sitting sheriff execute political hit on his opponent? The second one says, Greene County free speech prevails, but do jurors fear retaliation from sheriff? Third one says, Sheriff's Association calls for Greene County, Illinois Sheriff Rob McMillan, nicknamed McVillain now, calling for him to resign. So here's what happened. So Luke Lamb is shut down. He can't even run against the sitting sheriff now because he's, well, got felony charges against him, right? And so Luke Lamb doesn't know what to do, so he gets a hold of me and several other talk show hosts that he knows and listens to, as well as the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And he says, come help me. I need help, man. So we roll up there to help our buddy, Luke Lamb. And we go there, and we basically proceed to find out what on earth is going on. Well, James, as you know, I'm not the most timid of folks. And so I rolled in there. And I absolutely mocked the sheriff. Absolutely mocked him. We started calling him McVillain instead of McMillan to make a political point. And here's the question. Did Luke Lamb literally jury tamper? Or is this a political hit on an opponent? Meaning the sitting sheriff make a hit on his opponent so he won't win. And the way you know is this. If I, Sam Bushman, do the exact same thing Luke Lamb did, then they've got to arrest me too, if it's a violation of the law, and there's no respecter of persons in this discussion. On the other hand, if it's only about Luke Lamb and it's a political hit, they won't touch Sam Bushman. So I decide that I'm going to basically use the exact words on Luke Lamb's Facebook page, and I'm going to blab those same words on the radio. So I said, hey, you know what? I think with regards to Mark Boston, a friend of mine, he needs to nullify, nullify, nullify. He needs to bust out and nullify the jury and shut it down. And so I basically point all this out, right? On the radio, blatantly in your face, exact words that Luke Lamb used. Because again, they need to arrest me too. So after I did that, then I went right in front of the courthouse while Luke Lamb's trial was happening, while they were selecting the jurors, in fact, and I put up signs saying nullify, 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 right in front of the courthouse, buddy. And then I went into the sheriff's office, and I said, Sheriff, I need you to arrest me. And here's my card. I'd like you to arrest me. Here's my card. And I made friends with all the police officers there. The sheriff wimped out and refused to see me, but I literally walked into the sheriff's office, and I gave him my card so that they could arrest me. And nothing happened. And then we literally went into the courthouse, and the judge of Greene County, an incredible gentleman, by the way, his name is Judge Day. And Judge Day recused himself from the case because he wanted no part of it and because he felt like it was inappropriate for him to rule on it anyway. But I made friends. I made friends with Judge Day. So much so that I went into the court and I sat in the judge's chair. And I got my picture taken with the judge standing behind me. I was in the chair, and I had the gavel in my hand. And so I made friends with everybody in the town except for the sitting sheriff, who refuses to even see me. And I made friends with the cops. I walked over to the first cop, and I said, listen, don't tase me, bro. I just want to chat. And I asked him about the Luke Lamb case, and I made friends with the deputies, and I did all these things. And the bottom line is I offered to sell camping gear at a discount to the sheriffs and the deputies and all these guys. And so we really did our very best to mock this sheriff and to create accountability here. Bottom line is, if he's not going to go after me or others that stood up and put up nullify, nullify, nullify signs, then it really is about a political hit on an opponent. It's not about breaking the law or tampering with the jury, because we have our First Amendments. There was no tampering with the jury. He didn't seek out specific jurors. He didn't give advice or guidance on a specific case. Well, if it was really that Mark Boston was a tampered with juror, they should have kicked him off the jury immediately. They didn't do that either. In the original case that turned out to be a speeding ticket case, 12-0, they said the person was not speeding, it was not a problem. Luke had nothing to do with it. Luke wins his case while we were there. And the bottom line is 12-0, no jury tampering, details in seconds.
And come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. We have talk radio host star du jour, Sam Bushman, with us. Longtime friend. Everybody who has listened to Political Cesspool more than once has heard us at least reference Sam by name and the role he's played in the development of the program for the last 5 years. I mean, we've been on the air for 10 years, five of those as members of Sam's network, and, of course, that's when things really started to break wide open for us in terms of our prominence and ever-growing audience. Anyway, Sam left Memphis to make a beeline to Illinois and was actually able to witness a favorable resolution to an issue while he was on the ground. And we talk about men being men and men being courageous. There's a difference between recklessness and courage, of course. But, you know, Sam going up there and letting the people engaged in playing a role in this situation know where he stood. Not that he wanted to be arrested, but he let them know that there are some things worth paying a price for. And he was willing to pay that price for something he believed in, and it dealt with Mr. Lamb's case here. Anyway, it was favorably resolved. We're going to let Sam finish wrapping it up, and then we have a couple of other vast and varied stories we'll cover with Sam, stories that he's covered on his radio show in the last week, one dealing with, I believe, a certain Apple CEO, but we'll get to that in a moment. Sam.
All right. So Luke Lamb, constitutional candidate for sheriff of Greene County, Illinois, basically had the sitting sheriff commit a political hit on him. And the bottom line is free speech prevails. The jurors, 12-0, Luke Lamb did not tamper with the jury. A smackdown of the sitting sheriff to the highest order. Now, there's some things that you ought to know about the trial. The attorney by the name of Patrick Watts from St. Louis, Missouri, got the sitting sheriff, Rob McMillan, nicknamed McVillain now, on the stand. In the dialogue, I'm paraphrasing, went something like this. Hey, Sheriff, you know, you worked on this case. Who did the investigation? Well, nobody did. Well, your name's on the report. Yeah, I put my name on the report and passed it along. Okay, who did the investigation? Nobody. Well, then how did you get the facts for this thing? Then, if you assembled it and put your name on it, there was no investigation. Who put the facts together? Well, I filled out the report. Okay. And how did you get this fact and that fact? And the sheriff basically said, I assumed this, I assumed that, I assumed, I assumed, I assumed. And the last statement from the attorney to the sitting sheriff, Rob McMillan, on the stand, he was shaking like a leaf on a tree, by the way. And the last question was, where in your police academy training were you taught to assume? And the sheriff put his head down and said they didn't. And I'm telling you, it was an absolute smackdown in the favor of the First Amendment, in the favor of Luke Lamb. But the bottom line is the election was almost stolen from Luke. He only had about a week after that to make his case to the voters. And so the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is calling for Sheriff Rob McMillan, current sitting sheriff of Greene County, Illinois, to resign. Now, there's a couple of other things that you ought to know along the way of this case. The prosecution panicked because they knew they were going to lose as Patrick Watts, the attorney, started ramping up his defense. And so they shot over, the prosecution shot over to Luke Lamb over and over and over several offers to try to keep the case from going to trial, and Luke wouldn't have any of it. The last offer that was made is, we will give you a texting while driving charge if you'll let this go. Luke said, are you nuts? I didn't text while I was driving. I'm not doing that. I didn't do anything you said I did, and I'm not doing that. Bottom line is the prosecution became desperate because they knew they had a losing case. 12 jurors agreed with Luke Lamb, and now we're calling for the resignation of the sitting sheriff who had, at the least, the most ill-judgment idea you could imagine, filing a political hit on an opponent. But the article, or the story, gets even worse. Here's why. The assisting police chief, in other words, the police chief that assisted the sheriff, is running head-to-head with the other guy that was supposedly jury tampered with, Luke's best friend. In other words, Mark Boston. So you got two guys, a police chief and a sheriff, making a political hit on one guy, Luke Lamb, but implicated as his best friend, again, an opponent of the police chief, Mark Boston. The more you dig in, the more this thing stinks to high heaven, and the bottom line is we're pushing for the resignation of the sheriff. Now, the taxpayers should be livid, though, because they knew this was a failing case and the taxpayers had to pay a chunk of change to keep this shenanigan going. Hopefully, the sheriff will resign. He said that he will not at this point.
Now we're hoping that the voters turn the sitting sheriff out on his ear for his abuses of the law. No doubt this thing's ripe for lawsuits, and we'll keep you up to speed on what happens as it unfolds. But I literally walked into the sheriff's office and said, hey, I did an identical thing that Luke Lamb did on Facebook on the radio. And out in front, you and your deputies saw my sign. Here's my card. I'm ready for arrest. When they refused to arrest me and they wouldn't go, then I went into the judge and made friends with the judge and sat in the judge's chair and got my picture taken. I had the gavel in my hand, and we mocked the sheriff. But the everybody else there was incredibly nice, and we had a fantastic time. So there's the deal with that.
Well, before you transition, Sam, I just want to add for emphasis. You know, folks, Sam was planning on obviously coming into Memphis and then going straight back to Utah after our event, the 10-year anniversary celebration. This issue caught his attention. He altered his plans, drove up to Illinois.
Thanks to the Copperhead, though. He's the one that gave us a ride.
Absolutely. Matt the Copperhead, who was also here in attendance here, our very good friend and contributor, took Sam and his associate, Kurt, up there so they could be there. Sam is a man who stands for what he believes in. No issue too big or too small. And he's on the right side of liberty. And, you know, I was talking about
you asked Matt about it. He watched me walk right into the sheriff and try to get that guy to talk to me and arrest me.
But I love that.
You know.
And we need people willing to stand up for what they believe in, willing to even, God forbid, pay a price for what they believe in. There are some things worth paying a price for. And that's why, you know, I was talking about my son being Henry, and one of the reasons down the list was Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. You know, you obviously weren't in danger of death there, Sam, but people aren't willing to risk anything.
I don't think they were going to arrest me either, because I explained to them, I said, you realize that my one phone call, you know where it's going to be, don't you, James?
To whom?
It isn't going to be to my wife. It isn't going to be to my attorney. It isn't going to be for someone to post bail for me. My friends will take care of that, no problem. Okay, it's going to be on the radio. My one and only call will be live on the radio. There is no law against that. And I will say I'm Sam Bushman, my single phone call broadcasting live from jail because the sitting sheriff is creating more abuses of the law. And I'm on the air. That's what I would have done.
Well, we need people. It's an inspiration, folks, what Sam is doing and has done. And this is the man also that did, I believe you did live radio while going through a TSA scan, did you not, Sam? Going through a TSA scan at the airport, Sam did it live on his phone connected to the studio.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing now at the TSA, James? I'm saying that I demand a female pat downer. Look, if we can run into all these bathrooms as male and female and do whatever we want to, I'm going to demand a female pat downer. I mean, if they're going to go ahead and put their hands all over my body, at least it's going to be a female, for crying out loud. I'm just saying.
Well, you can say, well, you can just say that you, despite your appearance and despite your biological anatomy, you are a female. You feel like you're a female, and they need to respect your gender identity. And this is what it's getting to. And I know this actually ties into something. I mean, of course, you would never do that because you're a normal person. And
but I will demand a female pat downer, though.
I'd like to see the reaction that gets from our friends in the TSA.
They don't know what to do with me. I've done that. They don't know what to do. First, they're like, sir? I just said, hey, man, I just, you know, this is like America where I'm free. And I'm just saying, if I'm going to have anybody touch my body, rather it be a female than a male, right?
Well, I can sympathize with you there. But this gets into it. I mean, you could, of course, play it up as, you know, you are a female on the inside and so on and so forth, and you're proud of that. You can be proud of almost anything, Sam, and certainly the Apple CEO is proud of something this week. He came out loud and proud. What's he proud of, Sam?
Apple CEO Tim Cook says, I'm proud to be gay. It's a big old to-do now.
And, of course, there is no risk in that whatsoever. I mean, he knows he's going to be completely embraced by all the media, all of Hollywood, all of the elite social circles in Washington, and certainly by the government.
Do you have an iPhone, James?
Yes, I do.
It can't be called the G phone because that's a Google phone. See what I mean? But you got a gay phone now, buddy.
Well, here's the thing, though, and the reason, and it's not anything new. And they think they're so courageous and brave in saying this, as if, you know, the decent people in this country have any power anymore. But I was thinking something on Huffington Post. You know, yesterday was Halloween. I had a great time going out trick-or-treating with Isabel and all that good stuff and getting into the spirit of the season. But I saw today on Huffington Post, you know, cute couple alert, adorable family alert. Doogie Howser, Neil Patrick Harris, and his so-called husband, you know, they dressed up as the Riddler and the Joker. And, oh, this was just the greatest, biggest, one of the biggest news stories in the country, Sam, obviously, is that this homosexual couple got together and dressed up and went out, I guess, trick-or-treating in their, you know, 40s or whatever. But whatever they did, went to a party. Oh, this is just great. Something to be embraced, something to be proud of. You know, and then here's Tim Tebow getting drummed out of the league. You know, on one hand, you've got Michael Sam, who doesn't have enough talent to make a legitimate NFL team, but because he was a homosexual, the NFL went out of their way to call teams to sign him. And then here's Tim Tebow, who led his team, the Denver Broncos, a couple of seasons ago, to a winning record and a playoff victory, but all of a sudden he's not good enough to play, despite the fact he's won as many playoff games as one of the biggest names in the NFL, Tony Romo. He's not good enough anymore. Or is it because he's too controversial? Yes, that's what the media called him, Sam. Controversial because he was a Christian and prayed during the game. But we don't have enough time left to get into that can of worms.
Well, simply put, evil's called good and good's called evil, huh?
I think we can wrap it up with that for this hour. Kevin McDonald will be with us in the next hour. But thank you, Sam, for providing us with a very interesting and encouraging update from your trip to Illinois right after on the heels of your time in Memphis. Thank you, brother.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
After this.
On the Liberty News Radio Network.